But the parallelism between the creed of the great generation, especially of Socrates, and that of early Christianity goes deeper. There's little doubt that the strength of the early Christians lay in their moral courage. It lay in the fact that they refused to accept Rome's claim that it was entitled to compel its subjects to act against their conscience. There is a quotation, says Popper, from Toynbee's A Study of History, Volume 6. The passage deals with the motive for the persecution of Christianity by the Roman rulers, who were usually very tolerant in matters of religion. And my comment, in fact, as we learned last week, they considered it essential to governance, the opium of the people, necessary to control them. Continuing. The element in Christianity, Toynbee writes, that was intolerable to the imperial government was the Christians' refusal to accept the government's claim that it was entitled to compel its subjects to act against their conscience. And my comment, of course, conscience is our inheritance from the infinite. Continuing, so far from checking the propagation of Christianity, the martyrdoms proved the most effective agencies of conversion. Continuing with his main text, there's little doubt that the strength of the early Christians lay in their moral courage. It lay in the fact that they refused to accept the claim that Rome could compel its subjects to act against their conscience. The Christian martyrs who rejected the claims of might to set the standards of right suffered for the same cause for which Socrates had died. It's clear that these matters changed very considerably when the Christian faith became powerful in the Roman Empire. The question arises whether this official recognition of the Christian church and its later organization after the model of Julian the Apostate's Neoplatonic anti-church. And I want to read from his appended note. He says, for Julian's Neoplatonic anti-church with its Platonizing hierarchy and his fight against the quote-unquote atheist, by which he means Christianity, I may quote a passage from J. Gefkin. Quote, in Jamblichus, who's a pagan philosopher and number mystic and founder of the Syrian school of Neoplatonists, living about 300 AD. And so the timing of this is revealing, I think, highly significant. The coincidence of this Syrian school of Neoplatonists who developed a philosophy based on or influenced by Plato, Neoplatonists, living around 300 AD, had to have had an effect upon Constantine. So in Jamblichus, the individual religious experience is eliminated, and that's significant. Its place is taken by a mystical church with sacraments, by a scrupulous exactness to carrying out the forms of worship, by a ritual that is closely akin to magic, and by a clergy. And my comment, recall that we called Paul the antidote to Plato. Paul spends considerable amount of time criticizing these empty forms. It tells us, go back to your hearts, please. Your bodies tell you true. Hearken to the infinite. You can hear that excerpt in which we discuss Paul being the antidote to Plato in our January 7, 2018 show. Reason is us. Paul is the antidote to Plato, is that file. Here we see perhaps Plato's first resurrection to fight back in Jamblichus, i.e. the anti-Paul, 300 years after Paul. Continuing with Popper, and he's quoting, of course, still J. Gefkin. Its place is taken by a mystical church with sacraments, by a scrupulous exactness to carrying out the forms of worship, by a ritual that's closely akin to magic, and by a clergy. Julian's ideas about the elevation of the priesthood represent exactly the standpoint of Jamblichus, whose zeal for the priests, for the details of the forms of worship, and of a systematic orthodox doctrine has prepared the ground for the construction of a pagan church. Unquoting J. Gefkin. We can recognize in these principles, says Popper, we can recognize in these principles of the Syrian Platonist and of Julian the development of the genuine Platonic and perhaps also late Jewish tendency to resist the revolutionary religion of individual conscience and humaneness by arresting all change, and by introducing a rigid doctrine kept pure by a philosophic priest caste and by rigid taboos. With Justinian's prosecution of non-Christians and heretics and his suppression of philosophy in 529 AD, the tables were turned. It is now Christianity which adopts totalitarian methods and the control of conscience by violence. The Dark Ages begin.